committees. Today I was informed that the chairperson of the committee is not available due to other commitments, emergencies. Therefore, the rules of parliament provide that in the absence of the chairperson, the members of the committee must elect an acting chairperson for the duration when the chairperson is not available. Therefore, honourable members, without wasting your time, I'm going to ask put a question before honourable members if there are any nominees for the position of the acting chairperson for today. I can see your hand, honourable Luyenge.
I move that honourable Dubazana be the acting chairperson.
Thank you, honourable member. Honourable Dubazana is nominated to be the acting chairperson for this committee. Therefore, I would like to ask if there are any opposition to that nomination. In that case, I would ask for the seconder. There were three hands. I will take one. Therefore, honourable Dubazana is duly elected as an acting chairperson. May I ask her to come and preside before this committee.
To the National Treasury, good morning, and we are so sorry that we are expected to, if we formulate laws, we are to respect them. So sorry for the delay, it was out of our control. Then the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. We were invited to come here and brief you on the new framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans. This is a framework that was issued to national departments and public entities last year. So I'm briefly going to take you through the framework, the requirements of the framework, and what the departments and the entities are required to do. To start with, this slide is basically a reminder that the frameworks that have been developed by the National Treasury are guided by the government-wide monitoring and evaluation framework. So in line with that, in 2007, you would remember that we issued a framework for managing program performance information. And the aim of that framework was to outline the key concepts in the design and implementation of the management of systems to define, to collect, report and use performance information, and also to clarify the definitions and standards of performance information. Now, we have realized over the years that the quality of performance information in the planning documents and budget documents is not really appropriate. There is a need to improve the quality of information, performance information that is reported. As a result, we have developed a framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans to improve the quality of those documents, particularly with emphasis to performance information. So this framework was issued in September last year. It provides a guide on what information should be in those two documents, taking the institution's existing policies and plans into consideration. So it doesn't replace the framework that was issued in 2007. This is a different one. However, in developing the plans, the departments and the entities have to read both documents. The purpose of this framework is not to guide the departments on how to do their policies and long-term plans. Instead, it is aimed to assist the departments to indicate how those long-term policies and plans can be implemented over a five-year period. Another reason why we issued this framework is to improve the quality of the accountability documents, as I have already mentioned. The purpose is also to align planning, budgeting, implementation, monitoring and evaluation, as well as reporting. You would note that the framework is not prescriptive. The templates that we have attached through the framework are there and can be used, can be customized, but they are not prescriptive. And the reason why they are not prescriptive is because we acknowledge that the departments are different, the entities are different. Some are service delivery, some are policy. So we do give them the flexibility, however they should align to the framework. What is prescriptive will be outlined in the Treasury regulations. I also want to mention that this framework was developed in collaboration with the Presidency, the National Planning Commission in particular, and Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, and we've also involved the Auditor General. On this slide is just an indication of the flow of information in relation to planning. So at a higher level, you have the constitutional and legislative mandate that informs the planning frameworks of all the spheres of government. And the information at that higher level would inform what goes into the strategic plan, which would include the five-year goals and targets and the strategic objectives. The information that is in the strategic plan would then inform what goes into the annual performance plan, and that would then inform what goes into the institutional operational plans and individual performance agreements. This slide is just an indication of all the documents that are required or are available in the planning, budgeting, and reporting cycle. So you would notice that in the framework we say that a strategic plan should be a five-year plan. The main aim was to try and align to the electoral cycle, but at the moment we are in the middle of the cycle, so the plans that will be tabled now won't necessarily align 100% to the cycle, but that is the main aim. You have the budget documents, strategic plans, which are 5 years, and then you have annual performance plans, which are reviewed annually, and then you have the in-year reporting documents, which will be the monthly expenditure report and the quarterly expenditure report. But now, with this framework, we're also introducing quarterly performance reports. At the end of the year, you have the annual report, and then at the end of the term, then we have the performance review. The slides on developing strategic plans and annual performance plan, this is just an indication of what a strategic plan of a department would be informed by. So the plan of a department would be informed by the MTSF, the medium-term strategic framework, which has the broad government priorities and key policies. And then that would inform the national plans and frameworks, and the sectoral strategies, as well as the provincial goals and development strategies. On the other hand, the Presidential State of the Nation address would inform what goes into the program of action, and also based on that, the Premier would give their State of the Province address. And all that information would then inform what the departments would put in their strategic plans and annual performance plans. From the bottom up, you have the local government infrastructure development plans that would be taken to the district office, and that also informs what goes into the strategic plans and annual performance plans. So the information that should go in the planning documents of departments would have to come from all the spheres and would have to be comprehensive in covering the policies and the priorities of government. This is a picture of what goes into the strategic plan and annual performance plan. So both documents will have three parts. In a strategic plan, the first part would be about the vision, the mission, the values, the legislative mandates, and you'll have the goals. And then part B would be the strategic objectives at program level, together with the resource considerations and risk management. And then part C would be other plans. In the annual performance plans, there's no need for a department to repeat the vision, the missions, and the legislative mandates. However, they can just update situational analysis if there have been any changes, and also if there have been any revisions to their mandate, or then they can include that. And there will be the budget information in the annual performance plan, In Part B, you have the details of program information, including the indicators and the targets. And then Part C would be the budget information relating to long-term plans that were outlined in the strategic plan. Now, going into the details of what should be in the strategic plan, the framework is saying, or in the framework, we are saying that a strategic plan should be a five-year plan that is aligned to broad government priorities, ideally aligning to the electoral cycle. And what we're emphasizing is that a strategic plan should not change within those 5 years. So your goals and objectives should be the same for the five-year period, unless if there are significant policy changes that affect the mandate or the service delivery environment of an institution. And if there are such changes, then the institution can issue or table a new plan in the next tabling period, or they can table those changes as an annexure to the annual performance plan. So in the strategic plan, only strategically important issues should be included, not operational issues. And then in the annual performance plan, the aim is to link plans with budgets and performance. So you have details of the program performance indicators and targets that informs how, or that indicates how the goals and objectives that are mentioned in the strategic plan will then be achieved. And then I've already talked about what is in the different parts of the document. And then we also have quarterly performance reports that will be based on the annual performance plans as the quarterly targets are required. And this document will then inform the annual report. In terms of the concepts that are in the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, the first concept is strategic goal. This is where an institution would identify the area of performance or in which is critical to achieve their mission, and it should be realistic and achievable. What we said in the framework is that the strategic goals should ideally be SMART. We do acknowledge that this is a high-level statement, and it won't really meet all the criteria of SMART. But ideally, it should be realistic and it should be achievable. So it should enable an institution to assess whether they are making an impact or not. And you will see that we have used a different terminology. We said it's a strategic outcome-oriented goal, and the reason why we decided on that phrase is we were trying to distinguish between strategic goals and strategic objectives, because there was a lot of confusion when we were engaging with the departments and the entities. But this is a high level outcome. Strategic objectives should clearly state what the institution intends doing in order to achieve their strategic goals. So it's usually written as an output statement, and it should be very specific. So it must indicate what the strategic intention is, how is that going to be done, and what is the progress measure. And this statement should also be written as a SMART statement. It should be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Usually, the strategic objectives would be at program level, but in some departments, it can even be at sub-program level. Again, we're saying the objectives shouldn't change annually. The objectives should also be for 5 years, unless if there are policy changes. Performance indicators. What we're saying in the framework is that departments and entities should have a core set of performance indicators and targets that they report in their planning documents and in the budget documents. However, that does not prevent them from having a comprehensive list of indicators in their internal documents to manage other internal and operational processes. But in terms of reporting in the strategic planning document, there needs to be a core set of indicators. And what we have alerted to the concurrent function departments is they have to make sure that they select carefully those indicators. National departments should make sure that they do not report on what is a direct responsibility of a provincial department, because what we realized is sometimes you would see the indicators duplicated in the provincial and the national department, while the national is playing an oversight role and a policy direction and development, and the provincial department doing the actual implementation. So we're trying to say they must include what is their own, what they have control over, what is their direct function. And also similar with the departments that are responsible for entities, sometimes there would be some kind of overlap and duplication. So we're trying to say they must distinguish. Although they can reflect the outputs of their counterpart provincial department or their entity, but in terms of setting targets, they should set targets on what they have control over, but still play an oversight role on the other sphere or on a relevant entity. Another important thing to highlight is it is important to ensure consistency of the indicators reported in the different documents. So you shouldn't find that an indicator is reported differently in a strategic plan, but when you go to the annual report or to the budget document or the annual performance plan, it says something different and it doesn't link to the strategic objective. This issue is consistently raised by the AG, so this framework is trying to assist the departments to make sure that there is alignment and consistency between on information reported in the different documents. In terms of targets, I just want to make a correction on the first bullet. The targets are applicable to both the APP and the strategic plan. You can just delete the not SPP, there is a mistake. So the baseline and the targets must be expressed in terms of numbers, and where they put percentages, we ask them to also have absolute values so that you can see how they got to the percentage. And then the baseline would be the current level of performance, and they'll have targets for the current year and the MTF period. The institutions are required to provide quarterly targets, but in some indicators you cannot have quarterly targets, like some indicators for STEMS SA where they do surveys just once a year or even biannually. So where applicable, we should have quarterly targets, and that informs the quarterly report. And we have provided a template for quarterly reporting. This slide just reflects the indicator measurement, the four elements of indicator measurement. So you have the indicator definition, which tells what should be measured, at what time period, how, by whom, and the frequency. So what we're saying in the framework is for each and every indicator, there should be an indicator definition. This assists the departments to be able to know what they are measuring, what they are working towards, whether they can actually provide data on what they want to put there as their measure. And then baseline would be the measurement of the indicator based on the current level of performance. The target is where we want to be. The actual output is the result. This is just an example from one of the provincial departments of the flow of information. At the top there, you have a goal, and then from that goal, you have the strategic objectives, and then based on that strategic objectives, you have performance indicators for each of those strategic objectives. So it just shows the alignment of information. So the indicators and the strategic objectives should be informing how the goal will be achieved at the end of the period. Quarterly reporting, the reason why it is important to have quarterly performance report is to measure progress. during the year before the end of, before we see it in the annual report, and be able to make necessary reviews or changes to make sure that we get to the target at the end of the financial year. So it is important for the accounting officer because they will be able to measure their own progress, but it's also important for oversight institutions like Parliament and maybe the center, the departments in the center of government, to measure progress for institutions and also to assist where possible. And this is based on the Treasury regulations, which says that quarterly results should be tabled to the executive authority and it should then inform the annual report. So I've already said that we have a template in this framework for the quarterly report. So far, the provincial departments have started submitting quarterly reports, and they do submit those quarterly reports to the National Treasury within 30 days after the end of the quarter. And then the fourth quarter will have information for that quarter and also for targets that are only reported annually. However, due to the weaknesses in the verification of information, they are given time to revise their quarterly figures in the next quarter. National departments will only start submitting their quarterly performance report with the first quarter of 2011-12. With regard to annual reports, from now on it will be important that the annual report, information reported in the annual report is aligned to the requirements or of the strategic plans and the annual performance plans. So part B of the annual report will have to be slightly improved. We are working on the format changing the format of the annual report so that the information on performance is comprehensive and is linked to what will be reported in the plans. On this slide, I think I've already talked about the purpose of linking plans to budget. So you would notice that in the annual performance plan, there is more information on the budget. So you'll have the performance indicators by program and sub-program where relevant, and then in relation to those programs, you also have budget information. And then also in the quarterly reports, there will be progress on the targets per quarter and also expenditure per quarter for those programs and sub-programs. This is just an example of the type of information that we need, that is required in line with the framework. So I just took an example from one of the provincial departments, it's health. So their strategic goal is improving the quality of primary health care and district hospital services. So the goal statement will be the how. How will they improve the quality of primary health care and district hospital services? So in this particular example, the how part is by rendering a full package of community-based and facility-based services at relevant community health centers and district hospitals. So this will be in the strategic plan. And then in addition to that being a goal, they will have to have a strategic objective. So the strategic objective is how they are going to achieve that goal of ensuring primary health care. Now they're saying that the objective is to increase access to HIV and AIDS programs for individuals, families and society. And the objective statement will be how will they increase access to HIV programs. And there you can see the statement is by expanding access to appropriate packages of treatment to 100%. And like I said at the beginning, that there needs to be targets. So in the strategic plan, you'll have a five-year target to say by the end of the five-year period, we want to have treated 45,000 people that are diagnosed with HIV/AIDS. And then when you go to the annual performance plan, it will be annually. What will be the target on a yearly basis so that by the end of the five-year period, we reach that 45,000? So the baseline would be the current level of of the current situation. The justification is, why do you want this objective? The link is just, this objective is linked to the outcomes of government or the outcomes of this particular department. And then in the annual performance plan, now you can see the breakdown. You have the strategic objective there being the number of people receiving HIV/AIDS programs, and then the target in the strategic plan is that 45,000. So you can see over the years, if you look at the MTEF columns, you can see how they gradually increase their target so that they can meet the 5-year target. In terms of indicators that relate to that strategic objective, so now is a breakdown per program. So you have the number of patients receiving HIV/AIDS and the number of new clients tested for HIV, and then you have annual targets over the MTEF. And then when it goes to the quarterly performance reporting, so it's that annual target broken down per quarter. So you'll notice that in the example that we have there, the first one is cumulative numbers. So every quarter they add the number to what they had in the first quarter. But the second one, the number is not cumulative. So each quarter they treat 3,250 individuals. And then when you add the total of the four quarters, you get to the annual target. And then we also gave an example of the indicator that will be in the E&E, which also links to that strategic objective that is in the strategic plan. This slide number 24 is an indication of a quarterly performance report. So you have the number of indicators there with annual targets and what they have achieved in each of the quarters. So this is the quarterly reports for this current financial year. That's why the fourth quarter is missing, because the information is still coming. And you'll notice that if you look at the annual targets there on this table, you'll see that, for example, on the first one, the number of youth reached through Kimuja awareness campaign, the target was 5,000, but in the first quarter, they actually had 16,000, so they have exceeded the target, which means they underestimated when they targeted for the year. It could be that they didn't want to set a higher target because they were not sure whether they will achieve or not, or it could be that they actually thought they will only reach 5,000 and they have done that, they did well. So there are also issues around target setting which needs to be discussed with individual institutions. And then the last slide, number 26, is on the information, how the information will then be reported in the annual report. So it will be target, the actual, and the variance, and the reason why there is a variance between the target and the actual. Slide number 26 is just to say, after doing the, or while developing the framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans, we realized the need to amend Chapter 5 and State of the Treasury Regulations, because those chapters speak specifically to the requirements of the strategic plans. So as a result, we had to amend those chapters in the Treasury Regulations, and the regulations are now in the process of being published for public comment. So what will be in the regulation will be prescriptive. It's basically that the strategic plan should be a 5-year plan. There needs to be collaboration between the different spheres of government and also between departments and entities. That all the plans should be signed by the executive authority, because some entities have indicated that their strategic plans were not signed by the ministers. So in terms, the treasury regulations will be requiring the ministers to sign all the strategic plans, but not just signing, also know and agree to what is in those documents. So the draft document will be submitted to the Treasury and Performance Monitoring and Evaluation for comment. So we're going to comment on the first and second draft of the planning documents, and then give feedback to the department, and those comments will also be tabled in Parliament by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. The quarterly reports will also be submitted to the Treasury and Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, and if required, Parliament can also get those reports. On this slide, I just want to mention that the strategic plans that were tabled last week, some of them would not fully align to the new framework, because especially for national departments, because the framework was issued in September, so there wasn't time to engage with the departments and comment and go through all the planning processes outlined in the framework. However, we will use the 2011-12 year to go through all the processes of working through the strategic plans and annual performance plans. So the plans that will be tabled at the beginning of 2012 should be aligned to the framework. What I also want to mention is that we have emphasized that the outcomes and outputs that are in the Minister Service Delivery Agreement should be reflected in the strategic plans. And we have provided templates for all the different kinds of reports. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Treasury, and unfortunately I didn't take an opportunity to introduce yourself, but we assume that we know you. But thank you for such an informative presentation. Honourable members, Garuti, questions? Honourable Van Rooyen, Honourable Dr. Lienge.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by welcoming the presentation. I was only one to point that I wanted to check. Of course, with the wisdom of hindsight, practically it has been very difficult, I mean, to ensure that there is collaboration within the three spheres. Now, I don't know, because I can see it's something that is emphasized, I mean, through this presentation. I don't know how is it going to be done differently this time, so as we get it right, because this bottom-up approach has been a nightmare, more especially for local authorities. So I'm not sure how is this going to be something that is realizable. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me also appreciate the presentation, Chair. Really, it's a mechanism that will actually assist us in executing our oversight duty. The question that I have, Chair, relates to monitoring and evaluation. The APP, as it stands, it's one tool that can be used in terms of ensuring who is going to do what and when. But how do you then monitor that? The 3 months, the quarterly reports that you get from the department at a national level, I would agree to term it a monitoring tool. But the most serious concern being the evaluation, when you are not necessarily looking at the financial part of the activity, and then also look at the impact as well as the outcome, which I appreciate that you are not necessarily going to look at the spending patterns alone. You also look also at the performance. Because monitoring is done during the progress of the function, and then evaluation is done at the end of the cycle to say, let's evaluate how much did you spend. You compare that with the allocated funding and the outcome. Then what about AG? Is AG going to stick to the financial part of the exercise, looking at the spending patterns as well as the documentation supporting the expenditure? Now, is there maybe any arrangement that also non-financial and performance will also be considered by AG? Is there any indication that we will arrive at such a situation?
Thank you, members. Over to you, National Treasury.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of ensuring collaboration between the three spheres of government, there are forums between the National Treasury, especially on concurrent function departments. There are forums that involve the National Treasury, the provincial treasuries, and the responsible, those relevant departments, where, in terms of planning, they have to sit together. So the local government will have to indicate what their plans are, not only the IDP, infrastructure development plans, but also other plans, and then feed into the provincial information and then to what will go into the national plan. So each department will know what their part or what their responsibility is, and for that sector, who will be responsible for what and what goes into the different plans by sphere in terms of making sure that they implement at the end of the day. So it hasn't really been, well, as ideal as we would like it to be, but Treasury is facilitating and involving all the relevant role players. But there are different forums that are trying to make sure that there is that collaboration and that there is improvement in making sure that all the relevant information is incorporated into those plans and that there is monitoring to make sure that they are actually implemented and that budget is aligned to those plans. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, when I did the presentation, I've mentioned that the strategic plans and annual performance plans will be analyzed by the Treasury and the Departments of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. So we will give them input while they're still drafting to make sure that they are aligned to the requirements of the framework and also that what goes into the plans is aligned to the broad government priorities. And in terms of quarterly reporting, it's not only on expenditure, this is specifically on performance information. So we will engage with them on a quarterly basis to check whether there is progress, which is what you have rightfully explained as monitoring. But in terms of evaluation at the end of the term, that I think will be the responsibility of the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. But on the Treasury side, that we assist them with monitoring in year. By the end of the term, then that's where Performance Monitoring and Evaluation Ministry will have to decide on how they are going to evaluate at the end of the term. But the information that is reported in year on a quarterly basis would go into the annual report, and that annual report is also comes to Parliament, where Parliament can actually say, this is what you said you are going to do, and this is the result, where are the variances, what went wrong, and what are the reasons. The Auditor General has been part of this, and they have already started auditing of performance information. They started in 2005-06, and they have been doing that in phases. It hasn't been officially, their findings haven't been officially expressed as an opinion, but they have mentioned their they have outlined their opinions in the management report. So they will continue to audit performance information, which is why we have involved them when we developed the framework and also when we did the training on this framework. So they are actually looking, they have a category. They look at the consistency, the reliability and usefulness of the information. So they're actually checking whether the information that is reported in the different documents is has the system is there to bring evidence that if the department say they have done something, is there evidence that they have actually done it? So they are actually looking at performance, I mean auditing of performance information. We have been having discussions with the AG and performance monitoring and evaluation about the approach, because we have been getting feedback from the departments and entities about the approach that the AG used in auditing performance information, where in some cases there's a feeling that they end up telling them what information to put, and that somehow contributes to changing their policy direction. But these are ongoing discussions, but they're definitely auditing performance information and not only financial information.
Any follow-up? Honorable Van Rooyen, Honorable.
Thank you once more, Chair. Not a question, but just a comment. The presenter is referring to existence of forums, which to me, of course, as someone who has been in the sector for some years at least, is like repeating the same old story of reference to forums. Or for lack of better with the broken record. But, you know, the president espouses the approach that suggests that we need to do things differently. It can't be business as usual. Because reference to forums and saying forums will take care of collaboration between the three spheres, it's a status quo approach. That's our baseline. How do you move from that, I mean, to ensure that this thing happens? Because to me, it's like we keep on saying this thing, but it's not happening. As a result, service delivery is negatively affected. And you know, I mean, who bear the brains? I mean, these are our poor local councillors at the local level because of non-performance of other spheres of government. And we are very quick, especially at other levels, I mean, to point fingers at the local government sphere, which is very unfortunate, you know. So I'm just saying we really need to do things differently, more especially from the treasury perspective, in terms of enforcing these noble plans that, and strategies that we are coming up with, or this framework that you are, I mean, expecting all spheres to comply with. I think it's very important to, at least, I mean, to get to the next gear in terms of implementing some of these strategies and frameworks. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, if I'm out of order, roll me out, please do so, because that's my first time just to come and give support. I just want to check, Chairperson, on the plans. From the Treasury point of view, because you speak of monitoring and the implementation, I just want to let on what the gentleman has raised, or remember, their capacity to do things. To what extent are you capacitated to do the job? Because I would fear a situation where you talk of capacity and you talk of one or two people, yet they have to oversee all three spheres of government in as far as departments are concerned. Because if you are not capacitated by yourself, then there's a big challenge. Those objectives will not be realized. Because also, my second point, because, look, the departments, at the end of the year, they always speak of under or over expenditure, as if there are no quarterly reports. And it points to a finger that there is a gap one way or another. Because by the time those reports come out in the public domain, it would, if committees did not do their work, or they will only be highlighted when you've got scoper who says there are these gaps that have been identified from various departments, yet you do have this department. So I just want to check on those issues, because if we can't do that, we won't be able and to do justice to what we want to achieve. It goes back once again to the capacity of the department to do its work. The other issue is your framework as treasurer and the regulations. It might be standard for all departments to follow suit, but to what extent have you capacitated those departments to understand your regulations and the framework of reporting? Because you will find that there is no uniformity by departments, and sometimes your framework is so it hides information for departments to go to town as to how you spend that money vis-à-vis your plan, because the treasury regulation sometimes, I just want to make an example, if you say chairperson goods and services as an item, and you don't explain those goods and services, what does that mean? And department is easy for them, sometimes, some of them, to hide those goods and services in terms of the itemized projects and run away with money. Hence, you'll find the over and under expenditure to that extent. So I'm not sure whether if they assisted the department to understand exactly what the department wants to achieve. On the question of capacity, because my underpinning point would be the quality assurance of those reports, especially when you say some of them will be exonerated because of various reasons. Because qualitatively, look, it's very difficult. Some of the departments won't be able to produce those reports to committees, in fact, as you know that we are required to have that kind of an oversight, in the in-year monitoring. But surely the quality of those reports leaves much to be desired. Hence, you'll find the AG making long findings or opinions expressing them in their reports. So I do have those little bit of concerns. That is what I wanted to check, Chairperson. If I'm out of order, Rune, I'll thank you.
Yes, definitely within a good order. Over to you, Mrs. Mokgatlo.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the follow-up question about enhancing the performance of local government with regard to planning and spending, I can get the people in the intergovernmental relations to give you a detailed process that they have in terms of making sure that there is interface between provincial and local government and with regard to plans and expenditure, because I'm not in that division, but they will. I can ask them to give a detailed outline of what actually Treasury is doing to make sure that there is that interface, if that's okay. With regard to capacity of the National Treasury to analyze the plans and assist the department, I think I can comfortably say that there is capacity. Basically, the framework was developed by budget reform, where I'm seated, and we did this together with the intergovernmental relations and also public finance. So what we did as the budget office was, after developing the framework, we have trained people in the public finance division and the IGR. And thereafter, we have actually invited the departments and the entities. So we had different workshops for the entities and for the departments to take them through the framework, the requirements of the framework, as well as the practical how to implement, not just the requirements, a practical session besides the similar presentation that I did today, on how to actually implement the framework, what information to put in each section of your strategic plan and your annual performance plan. So when those plans come to the Treasury, the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, they actually will go to public finance division because they are the interface with the department. So different people in public finance are responsible for a specific department. So each person will be looking at a plan for their own department and analyzing it. So we have developed some kind of a checklist to say, when you get a strategic plan and annual performance plans for a department, what do you look for? How do you make sure that this plan is of good quality? The information that is in this plan is comprehensive and is a true reflection of what the strategy of the department is, also aligning to the broad government priorities. So the Public Finance Division, together with us as Budget Office, will be looking at the national planning document, and the IGR will be looking, or in fact they have been looking at the provincial department's information. And we're going to do this together with the department, the planning, performance monitoring and evaluation department. So we will comment on the documents. Performance monitoring and evaluation will also comment, and we will have consolidated comments. And then we advise the department on the drafts. It will be consolidated comments that will then go to the department. So by the time they table their plans, they would have had input from us and from performance monitoring and evaluation. With regard to the quarterly reports, there is a template in the framework. The provincial departments have a standardized template. For national departments, we are also developing a template for quarterly reports. So the information should actually be standardized as far as possible, depending on what type of department it is. But the basic information would basically be standardized, and we will be able to assess that. We have been looking at the monthly and quarterly expenditure reports, but the performance information, there will be a template, and the same people in Public Finance and IGR, together with us in Budget Office, will be analyzing those quarterly reports. So we should be able, as a team, to assist the departments and advise where possible to make sure that the information that is there is. And then at provincial level, the IGR also involves the provincial treasuries to also assist the department there. So we hope, the quality of quarterly reports, that is not going to happen immediately. It takes long. But I'll speak about national departments. We haven't been requiring quarterly performance reports. So now they'll be required to provide quarterly performance reports. And we know that, there are issues about verifying information and the timing of the quarterly report. So if the quarterly information is available by the end of the quarter, they need so many days to verify the information. If the information has to be consolidated from other entities and maybe from a provincial department, so there needs to be lead time to verify the information as well. For some, for the indicators that they would have, they might not be for some it will be manual system, so it might even take longer. But what we're trying to do is we need to have the information reported, give them time to verify, but in the process assist each other so that we ensure that at the end of the day the quality would be, the information will be reported and it will be appropriate information. So in terms of capacitating the departments, yes. We have provided training, and what we also said is we have offered technical assistance as well, to say we have done the training sessions where we bring everybody in the room, but we are available. We have a technical assistance unit within the Treasury, so we have said to the departments that, and the entities, if you feel that you need technical assistance where you want Treasury to come and take you through a step-by-step approach on how to develop your strategic plan, the technical assistance unit is available, so you need to inform, and then they will come and facilitate your strategic planning session, or even take you through the process. So some entities and departments have already used that as a facility to get that kind of assistance. In terms of some expenditure items being hidden under the classification, like you gave an example of goods and services, the details are actually there. It's just when you if you look at the budget document, with under goods and services, there will be a number of items that falls within goods and services. But in the budget documents, you only see a few, because there are a lot of items under goods and services. But if you want more information, you can actually get from the department or from the treasurer. We do have a database. The department also has that information. So the details are indeed there, and they can be given. It's just a matter of what the department say when it comes to overall under expenditure. But the database is available, and you will be able to see where the money went.
The follow-up, Honorable Van Roy.
I'm not following up on any other thing. The presenter indicated that there is technical assistance that can be provided.
Sorry, Honorable Van Roy. Honorable Koranov, we are going to discuss about the program for the committee. I don't know if you go out and you quickly come back, because we're going to finish in another 5-7 minutes.
11 o'clock is that sort of my cut-off time.
Oh.
I've just got a phone.
So you must phone Alan.
No, I spoke to him. We spoke that on Tuesday morning. They should not put something on a program for Tuesday morning.
Okay.
I was traveling back here. I told him that.
Now, the common practice here is that institutions will, more especially municipalities, will go to an extent of procuring consultancy services for assistance in developing such plans. Now, if really there is this technical assistance, obviously I hope it will cater for the workload that we currently have, you know, in terms of institutions that need such, that will need such a service. I hope the capacity is there to ensure that such a service is provided when needed, because there are deadlines here that or time frames that must be adhered to. You know, I hope the capacity is adequate enough to avoid the situation whereby institutions are forced to get consultancy services. I mean, to assist them to have this threat plan, I mean, going. But also, if really we have such a technical assistance, it then suggests that we need to discourage that practice. Now, my question is there any circular that has been issued to discourage such a practice? Thanks.
Honorable
Dr. Van
Rijn, that's one
issue, Chair. In fact, it's a comment and a rider to what Honorable Van Rijn alluded to prior around the intergovernmental forums. There's a problem around there. You just can't rely on informal structures now, but maybe because of these new changes that things are done differently, maybe the attitude by the sharing forum, it's going to actually change. Because in the past, no decisions were actually implemented coming out of such forums, because it was not a legal forum, not a forum that is funded. You know, you'll find these mayors saying, no, all that we were in, it was just a talk show. People wanted us to do things which are not funded. I think maybe now they will be changed, but you can actually look at the mechanism also of ensuring that decisions that are taken at such forums are actually implemented or considered by the relevant stakeholders. Thanks.
Thank you, members. Any response?
Can you record it?
I'm saying, Chairperson, I just want to get a clarity that is there no template for reporting on quarterly basis at the national level, yet it is there for province. because look, it is expected that for the disease committee should have that kind of a tool to have quarterly reports. Now, if they have not yet been developed, what do we do? That's only to get that land.
Over to you, Ms. Mahasha.
With regard to local government using consultants to develop their plans, it's not only local government, even some of the national departments do use consultants. We have actually tried as far as possible to discourage the use of consultants when you do your plans, because when the consultant go, you don't know what is in your plan and you can't even take it forward, you can't even measure progress. So what we did when we were training on this framework was to try and explain it in a way that the departments will be able to do it on their own. If you look at the requirements of the framework, it's not really a completely new thing where they would have to start afresh and not even know where to start. Every department and institution had a strategic plan, so it's just to enhance, to improve, to add more information and to change the way the information was reported and make it look better. So they don't need new resources, a new person with new skills to come and do it, or a consultant to come and do it. It's just a matter of understanding what is changing, what information should now be reported, how it should be reported, and they will be able to do it. I think it's just the mindset issue, and we have tried to address that. So it's not only a local government. And in terms of the technical, and we're hoping that the message has gone through, and because we have said we are available to assist, and we should they should be able to do it. And I must say that we have been engaging. I mean, after issuing the framework, there's been more communication between us and the department in terms of saying, can we send you a draft? We just want to be sure that this is how the document should look like and all that. The technical assistance unit is available. They do have enough capacity, but I wouldn't say they will be able to at once go to all the national, provincial, and local government. It depends on when the need arises and how much they are needed. And it's not everybody that would need the technical assistant to go there and start from scratch. So they will respond to the request as they come, and they should be able to assist as far as possible. And we're hoping that they will eventually, the information that is reported will be of good quality. We haven't issued any circular to discourage the use of consultants. I don't know if we should, and I don't know if we can. When we do monitor the expenditure information, we always look for the percentage of spending on consultants, especially by program. And where we see that there is a higher percentage of money spent on consultants, we do raise that with the department. So they are aware that they shouldn't be spending a lot of money on consultants while we're having own resources. So it's not only on the development of strategic plans. Overall, the use of consultants is what we have been monitoring on the expenditure side. The template on quarterly reports, this is in the process. We actually in my office doing this. For national departments, remember that the quarter one information will be required by end of June. So this will soon, within weeks, will soon be available. But besides this as a template, the framework has, we just want to improve the template that is in the framework. But already they know what kind of information is required. But before they even start the first quarter, the template will be out there and will be ready for you. So it should be fine.
Before you you come on, Honorable Van Rooyen, I just want to to highlight on this, because it has really created a problem to the committee, the Standing Committee on Finance. You know, it creates so much problems that we are having problems on oversight. You know, when you look at so-called the overall expenditure, and then you say to yourself, you want to compare what has been spent on using the selected performance indicators. We always discover, since we started 2009, discover that there is a repetition of the indicators. Now you talk about 5 years. I'm telling you, if you can go back up to 2006, you see that the department, they do not worry about changing the indicators. They just copy and paste, copy and paste. And that is a problem. Now, if you look at your slide number 20 and slide number 22, but right on top, you have actually and clearly said that an indicator is a measurable. Thank you. It's a measurable. It's a measurable tool that you use by whoever, whenever, but it must be measurable. Now, if you look at the first one, where it says you look at the goal, now which means there is a problem. Why I'm saying this, it means there is a problem with the framework. And unfortunately, the National Treasury has taken the framework already to all the spheres of government without the Standing Committee on Finance looking at it and saying, in fact, we had problems on 1, 2, and 3. So it means now you need to, I don't know whether you still have to go back and say, look, in fact, the framework itself is still not yet equitable to the committee to be able to do the oversight. Now, look at that slide that I've referred to. It says the strategic outcome is to improve the quality of primary health care and district hospital services. You can't measure that. You cannot measure that. And then the goal will be to render a full package of community-based and facility-based services at relevant community health centers. But you go to the threat plan now of that goal. The two don't marry one another. The strat plan will talk about the HIV. The strat plan will talk about an objective being increased access to HIV programs, which on its own is a specific objective. It has got nothing to do with the goal that was tabled earlier on, which is to improve the primary health care. HIV on its own, if you look at it, it's a very specific concern by all the South Africans. Now, the committee is saying, by so doing, this happens quite a number of times, and you go through our budget book, that thick book, that's what creates problems. We fail to align the overall expenditure to the selected performance indicators that they were laid down by the department. That's why you'll find the committee members keep on asking, are you capacitated enough? Because at the back of our mind, we thought maybe it's the capacity that is lacking within the National Treasury, that you are unable. The reports are two, they're quite many, and you don't have enough time to actually go through and say, but hold on, Department of Home Affairs, you have been having this indicator for more than 7 years. The number of people issued with new IDs, but you don't give us a tangible target of saying about 200,000, and out of 200,000, we have issued 90,000. It's not there. I don't know whether you need to respond or you need to, because I don't know. Now, we thought the framework is not yet out. If the framework is out, and this is what we are getting, we are still very much unhappy about the framework. That's what I want to highlight as a concern for the committee. Thank you.
Honourable. I think my last take on this issue of a second. You know, we have created a technical capacity to assist
all spheres of government. I don't think it's correct for us not to view any expenditure incurred as a result of TEPI outside that expertise that we have created, or that pool that we have created, to be a wasteful one, or maybe to be an irregular one. I really don't see a reason why can't we declare that as a wasteful and an irregular expenditure as national treasure. We are able to do that. Just recently, I know there was a circular that was released. But circular, to me, is more of a regulation. It's binding. Unlike just a verbal warning and maybe a memorandum between the department. And No, circular is binding because it's a ministerial directive on how we need to deal with issues. So if we are able to issue a circular, like the recent, I'm trying to remember the recent one that has been issued last week. I think it's discouraging. Look, I forgot this one. But it's very interesting. No, it's discouraging municipalities not to use funds for election work. Because IEC is created and funded by National Treasure. It's created by the government and funded by National Treasure. You know? So we can't condone, we seem to be condoning municipalities tapping into service delivery funds, I mean, for election work. As a secular, there's a recent secular that's been released by National Treasure. And municipality, obviously, will be assessed on the basis of that secular as to how they handle the election issue. The same applies. The World Cup is not a new thing. The World Cup, we did the same thing. We issued a secular to say municipalities and government departments must not buy tickets, blah, blah, blah. But there was a secular to find it. And people currently, are being, the performance of departments is being evaluated against that particular secular. Now, I don't think at this stage we can ask the question if we should or we can. I think, yes, it's a must, because we have created a technical pool from which we are expecting institutions to tap into as a way of ensuring that we don't encourage unnecessary or maybe wasteful expenditure that can be incurred by municipalities as they try to develop their strategic plan. So in my take, really, it's a must. The circular must be issued so people can know that This is something that is not allowed in as far as development of strategic planning is concerned.
Thank you. The issue about the circular, I'll definitely take it back. And then if we have to get back to the committee, we'll definitely do that. I just want to explain the link between strategic goals and strategic objectives. Maybe just to clarify, because I might have gone quickly through the example here. Just to say, maybe before I even go to this example, out of the 12 national outcomes that we have, you know that for each outcome there are outputs. So those outputs tells you how the outcome will be achieved. Let's take, for example, the one on health. It's a healthy and I can't remember the exact wording, but maybe we can even use a safe and secure South Africa. That is a high-level outcome. So how do you measure a safe and secure South Africa? It is an outcome. It's a high-level, it's an impact. It doesn't have targets because it is an outcome. That's what we wish to have as a country. We want to have a safe and secure South Africa. But then when you go to the strategic, the outputs, those outputs can be said to be strategic objectives. So they will tell you how you're going to have a safe and secure South Africa. So you'll have to reduce the level of crime maybe by 7% per annum. You'll have to reduce the case backlogs, reduce overcrowding. There are different outputs, or you can say strategic objectives, that informs how you're going to achieve that outcome of a safe country. So even with this one, the goal is the outcome, is to improve the quality of primary health care. That's what the Department of Health wants to do. They want to ensure that the quality of primary health care is improved. But then how are they going to do that? So there will be a number of objectives that informs this one. So they will have to do different things to make sure that the quality of primary health care is improved. And one of those things is increasing the number of HIV programs. So this is not a goal. Increasing the number of HIV programs is one of the things that the Department of Health will have to do to make sure that the quality of primary health care is improved for the families and the communities in the provinces. So the strategic objectives basically are instruments on how to get to the goal. So it will be it won't be one thing. Even the national outcomes, not one department can be responsible for one outcome alone. The one on a safer country, the police won't be able to achieve a safer country alone. They will need other criminal justice system departments. The one on health as well, you need different role players to make sure that at the end of the day you have a healthy society. Similar to the link between goals and objectives. So the goal is at a higher level, so you need different objectives or different instruments that will help you to have a better primary health care service. So there isn't really a disjuncture between the goal of a primary health care and this one on HIV/AIDS. And if you go down and look at, if you drill down to the lowest level and go to the indicators, you'll see that the one talks about the HIV programs, the other one talks about patients receiving ARVs, the other one on those who are tested, and then if you go there, you also have the number of malaria cases diagnosed and tested. This eventually contributes to having a healthy community or improving the quality of health, primary health care. But it's at the different layers, but all of it is aimed at getting to that goal or the outcome. So the important thing is just to make sure that when the information is put in the planning documents, it is still aligned to the high level goals. So that's what we're trying to explain, and I think that's where the challenge is, to make sure that everybody understands that the main aim is to reach the ultimate goal, make an impact to the community by doing a number of different things at different layers, at different levels, but eventually working towards the same goal. So there is the issue here is about the linkages, and this is what the AG is also looking at, and making sure that that's why we're saying make sure that there is consistency. Do not change the way you phrase your indicators in different documents, because you end up missing whether this information is still contributing to that high-level goal. So the linkage is the most important thing. But at a higher level, you have, that's why we're saying an outcome or a goal is what we wish to achieve. So it's not tangible, but the objectives and the outputs are more tangible. You can be able to say, I have tested so many people, I have given so many people medication, I have done all this. It's more tangible, but all the tangible things contribute to that, the wish, which is the goal or the outcome. So I think it's just a matter of understanding the linkages, but I do take your point that we are aware that once the national departments have implemented the framework during this year, we'll have to review and see where the challenges are, and then sit again and see what needs to be reviewed. I do take your point that we should have given the framework to the committee before we released, maybe for comments, and so that you can have a look at it. But I think you can still do that. And go through the framework and let us know where they are. But I think you'll be able to see the challenges once you see the actual documents, because that's where you will see whether departments are able to give the information that is required by the framework. And then where you see the challenges, you can highlight them, and we will have to take that into consideration and see how we can change the framework so that it represents, I mean, it enables the departments to provide information that will be useful for you to do your oversight function, and also to provide the information that is more relevant and more adequate. In terms of the selected performance indicators that are reported in the E&E, the reason why we, okay, basically what we're saying is the department shouldn't change, they should have the same indicators if their program structure hasn't changed, if their policy hasn't changed. The problem that we're having is sometimes the information that is put in the E&E is what they think they will be able to report easily on, or the information that is easily accessible. So if the quality of the information is not good, we always engage with the department to try and get better indicators. That is why initially you'd remember when we introduced the selected indicator table, we limited to 10 indicators, but a year after we realized that if you limit to 10 indicators, then you restrict the department and we miss some of the important information. So we are not restricting to we're not giving a limited number, but we still say high level indicators. And the reason why we say selected is because when we had indicators by program, we ended up having operational indicators where people talk about the number of training sessions, the number of workshops, but that is not really an indication of what the core function of a program is. So that's why we, and it should really be aligned to the expenditure, because now we have a column for program. So you have the indicator and which program this indicator is linked to. So you should be able to trace expenditure when you go to the expenditure table. I think the target setting is an issue, and in some cases in negotiating with the department, you find that the way you want the targets to be set, it's not easy for them because maybe the information won't be easily available. It's either a manual system or they haven't recorded the information in the way that you suggest it should be reported. So the development of indicators and the setting of target is an ongoing process that we have to continue improving together with the departments and with your assistance as well. So it's good that you do point those issues so that when we negotiate with the departments, we do emphasize on those particular issues. But performance information management is an ongoing improvement process, which is why we keep on introducing new guidelines, new frameworks. Let's train, let's engage more people, let's assist each other. But the aim is to improve the quality. That's why you see now in the adjusted E&E, we ask them to report on progress in year, which we haven't been doing in the past years, but from 2 years back we have been saying during the adjustment, give us the progress for the first 6 months, where are the variances, why are there variances, if we adjust your budget, are you going to change your indicators and your targets and all that. So, and if they have to change, they can change during the adjustment period and even when we do the E&E. So the points that you have raised have been noted and we will take them further.
Judy, thank you very much for your time and thank you for the information. We really appreciate it. Honorable members, I don't think there are any outstanding clarities or questions. If there's none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Oh, before that, to the members alone. you are released. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
That's just
proposed.
Yeah. Honorable members, in fact, just these are comrades now. On Tuesday, there's a proposed program, but which is not yet confirmed. And if you remember yesterday, according to the text, I don't need to refer to if you remember yesterday, according to the chair, Tuesday was like there is nothing that is happening.
Yeah.
Especially because we'll be in our constituencies on Monday, so therefore for the human side.
Yeah.
So others will finish quite late to take sites to come back. So let us leave the Tuesday open. And then, so this is what I'm proposing, that it is supposed to be set 8 budget votes on Tuesday.
No, akakho yena yi. They are the same body there.
Oh, it's in a meeting one.
Gusuka.
Suka.
Suka, yeah, L. Initial.
Okay, go for it. Gus. Take one, two. Let me take them first also.
Okay.
Chair. Okay.